Yeah.
We don't know what schedule the county has for that corridor. We know a lot of the streets in Westgate need some maintenance. But yeah, maybe that's something that could also be discussed with the county and they come around to the resurface.
We have 2 minutes until the beginning of this, I'm sorry, yeah, few minutes.
We thank you for having us.
Thank you very much.
One note that the tab didn't mention, I think Owen will like that, is I think last week or the week before, the first lady was in Westgate Elementary.
Oh.
I don't know if we're going to get more points or less points. Yeah, she came and read to the students at Westgate Elementary a week ago.
Yeah.
All right. Well, does anybody have any more questions?
Can we offer up an alternate typical section?
Yeah, we can go. Yeah, sure. Throw it out. That's what we're here for.
I mean, from a scoring perspective, we'll keep it at the one-inch score already shown today.
We're covering highway engineering.
The scoring won't matter that much when it comes to separated versus shared use pathways. They're very similar scoring. I think it's 4 points per mile. So the scoring may not vary too much. But I staff will also look into work with the county to see when the research jobs can be out there. So these projects do change a little bit when they get down the road.
Okay, and Michael has a question.
Yeah, just one last question. With regards to the high visibility crosswalks, will they include those tactile areas or
detectable areas?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just curious.
Oh, are they decorative or are they going to be painted?
They'll be decorative as well.
Like the one in West Palm Beach?
No. Not that decorative. Yeah.
Is there speeding issues on this one?
Yes.
There is? And have you consulted with the, is it Palm Beach County Sheriff's or is it West Palm Beach?
So we've spoken to them about it and they're very much in support of the project.
Okay. But what I'm saying is an area, do you want to like put some, flashing, speed zone is 30 miles per hour? Slow down, some signage to that effect.
Yeah.
There are a few signs already because of the school, okay. But definitely we can look into adding more.
Anything to alert the traffic going through to go to 30 miles an hour or less,
Yes.
Or put some speed bumps or
something. Yes, all right, Eric, do you want to just...
Yeah, there's Cambridge, Massachusetts did an elevated, can't think of the name of the street off the top of my head, it's an elevated cycle track. And just what they did, you have to, currently your tree is like here,
mm-hmm.
You just move the tree to the edge of the existing sidewalk, and then you still have the same 12 feet, but you use 6 and 6 or something, and then two modes are split. You could do a different colored pavement or put something on the sidewalk every so often so people know it's for a bike. And then it's just you don't have the mixing of the two modes at different speeds. And I think it would cost exactly the same. And I think it would kind of address some of the concerns. And honestly, you put a traditional shoulder off an 11-foot lane there, it's unless someone's really a comfortable cyclist, your younger people aren't going to want to use that bike facility. So I think we're better. I think they're on the right track. I think we're better to... This gives you some separation when people are actually going to use the facility. And probably with the incomes in there and things, it's...
Is separating bike lane a score higher than the multi-use?
I think
they do.
Okay.
It's the same. Well, then, yes, it's
4 points.
It used to. But now it's about the same.
I mean, Eric, would the tree be in the middle of the site? I mean, would it be like one kind of concrete or whatever, and you have trees every now and then, or be two separate?
That's up to, I'd probably, cutouts would be better because a little strip of grass is going to be a lot of maintenance. I would probably with the trees, I would do like a strip of pervious pavers between the two paths, and then, you know, some sort of pervious gravel, something where you wouldn't have to be edging the grass all the time from a maintenance perspective, would be my suggestion.
So would that be wider than 12 feet?
It's just you're flipping that sort of...
You're flipping it.
You're flipping the tree they have.
It would be the same. Eventually, you'd have 2 6-foot sidewalks. The difference would be that you'd have at least a 5-foot area for the tree in there, probably.
Okay.
So from the long-term viability of the plant, if plant material does go in there, the wider, you know, it's adjacent to the swale here and probably reach fuller potential.
I mean, is that a way we can incorporate, in our vote, what Eric said, or I don't know.
Say that again.
Is that a way we can incorporate what Eric said in our voting?
No, because this is what they're presenting. So, you guys ultimately, so we're running out of time right now. You need to score on your what level, consider their level of service that they're providing, consider the facilities they're providing, making sure that you rank according to the overall project at hand. So just kind of keep that in mind when you're doing your scoring. You know, we could always do something cost better, just kind of keep that mindset, kind of keep a clear head about it.
And the reality is the bicyclists and the pedestrians that are there now are much more on the community level. We don't have bike clubs coming through there. We don't have people training through there. And that doesn't mean they won't.
What I'm trying to say is that what you need to do is consider how you're going to get through on a bicycle and at speed. Because there are people that would really like to ride through there on a bicycle and go to work and get back and that level of service.
Mm-hmm.
It depends.
Yeah.
Whole area, how are you looking at how you're going to get bicycles around and people around and make it safe?
Mm-hmm. Any more comments, questions? Thank you guys very much for
your
presentations.
Thank you.
And we appreciate you taking the time to come today.
Thanks, you guys.
Thank you.
Their office is next door, so they're walking, right? Well, y'all might have luggage,
it's rainy. But we didn't really walk.
They walked last time you guys came over here.
Yeah, we don't really walk.
For the pre-application.
Thanks, guys. See you later.
Thank you.
Okay, so is Boynton Beach here?
I believe I saw Gary.
Gary?
Yeah. I thought I saw him. Yeah.
Is Gary here? Hi, Gary.
How are you?
Good. How are you today?
I'm doing really well.
Thank you.
That's what you're making.
Gary, you used to be on BTV.
Yeah.
I did, yes.
So.
It's like so strange to know these.
It is weird, isn't it?
It's on the other side.
Yes.
All right, so we're going to get started pretty quickly, you guys.
Yes, right now.
Well, I'll wait on Gene.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. You're the
vice chair. We want to welcome the city of Boynton Beach to do their Southeast First Avenue Complete Street Improvement Project. And you have 10 minutes for presentation, and we have 5 minutes for questions. So
it's 10 minutes? I thought it was 15 minutes.
Yeah, well, so there's 10 minutes, 5 minutes questioning. Oh, I have a question. If you need to go into 15 minutes.
If you need to go into 15, just go. Because you know what? You guys, we're giving away a lot of money, and I don't want to rush people, and I don't want to rush through questions just to stay on and timeline.
Okay. Yeah, we're right at 15 minutes. We've run through this a couple of times.
All right.
Well, hi, I'm Gary Denmeyer. I'm with the City of Boynton Beach, and this is Paolo Mendoza. And so we have our First Street Complete Street project, and we're real excited to show this to you. Our project is located right here in the heart of Boynton Beach. On the south side, we've got a big retail and residential hub. So this is an origination point and a destination point. And then on the north side of the same street, it's a mile long, we've also got the same thing. We're putting in a new town square project. In a couple of slides, I'll get more into this. But basically, these are both focal points that will be origination points and destination points. Here's what we're proposing. We've looked at this project, and we're proposing a 10-foot path down the west side of Southeast First Street. So it's going to start up here, town square is here. So basically, it's going to connect Southeast 2nd Avenue and run all the way down to Woolworth. That's about a mile long. And then here, we've got a crossing where we're going to be connecting Southeast First Street to a park that's right over here. So we've got a little 5-foot sidewalk along this river. And this big empty area that you see there is the FEC railway. And so there's only two crossings in this location. There's a crossing here at Southeast 12th Avenue, and then there's a crossing here. This road has no improvements shown on it because we're planning on getting that work done before this project goes into construction. At this point, I'm going to turn it over to Paula for a moment so she can talk a little bit about the existing conditions and some of the demographics.
Thank you, Gary. So in our project, we have two different existing conditions. So the first one will start on the south, goes from Woolbright all the way to 7th Ave. And as you can see in the pictures, we have commercial usage on the west side of the road and utilities also overhead. Poles and whatnot on the west side of the road. We have no sidewalk and no curb. And so you putting our 10-foot shared use path on the east side, on the right side of the corridor is going to prevent negative impacts to the businesses as well as having to relocate any utilities. Next, we have more of a residential kind of look now on our project. Starts on 7 and it goes all the way to the end of the project on 2nd Ave. Right here we see that there's utilities as well on the west side, no sidewalk, no curb, and again putting the 10-foot shared use path on the right side of the picture here will prevent having to relocate those utilities. Next we'll talk about some of the demographics in our project. Based on the U.S. Census, our project median household income versus the Palm Beach County median income turns out to be 83.4%. And the demographics for traditional underserved population, which is non-white residents in our corridor, turns out to be 44.9%.
Okay, this brings us to our typical section. We have a 50-foot right-of-way in the area, and two locations. We have two typical sections, and what I try to do is blend them into one, so bear with me for a moment here. On the east side here, we've got the homes, and then we've got our 50-foot right-of-way that runs all the way to here. And so this 50-foot right-of-way is going to consist of our 10-foot multi-use path. We're going to have a transition point here so we can tie into the existing grade. We're going to have a 2-foot grass area, and then there's going to be a 2-foot curb and gutter. So we're separating our pedestrians and our bicyclists from the roadway by 4 feet. We've got two 10-foot lanes, another curb and gutter, and then we've got a 15-foot area here on the east side of the river. And why am I showing a tree there? The reason why is when you look at this section, we're using it for twofold. One is this is going to represent from 7th Street North the residential area. And so in that residential area, many of the homes have trees in the front yard. And then in the commercial section, this is going to be a diagonal or a parallel parking area that serves these buildings that pre-exist the road. And so basically, we had to cut the road in there, and our right-of-way is 2 feet from the face of the road, or from the face of the building. So it's a very interesting section and a challenging worker.
That's right. All right, so now I'll talk to you guys about the benefits, the proximity benefits for our project. So we are happy to report that within 2 miles of our project, we have at least 15 schools. And those are composed of public, private schools, early childhood development centers, and preschools, like I said. It happened to be that within 1 mile of our project, we have 8 of those schools. Actually, the city of Boynton Beach has 3 elementary schools, and they all happen to fall within 1 mile of our project. So we have approximately 113 acres of shopping around our project. Gary will do a great job to kind of detail out a little bit more what's on the south and the north of our project. But there's pretty much shopping for anybody around our project. So it's good located for that. Lastly, we'll talk about recreational centers. We have about 15 acres of recreational land use in our project. So we have the marina fun things to do. We have restaurants, bars, you name it, we have it around. And also we have at least 20 parks that are located within that mile. So parents could take the children to play baseball here at the Little Leagues on the south side of our project, take them to Penns Park, which is right there where Gary's pointing, and there's plenty of playgrounds on the north side, Town Square, downtown area.
Okay, so we were talking about the retail centers at the north and south side. I'm going to start at the south side. If we look in this quadrant here, this is a community that's been in existence for a little while here in the city of Boynton, and so there's several residents here. This project here is called Riverwalk, and it's under development now. This used to be a Winn-Dixie. What's being done is this building's going to go away, and a 10-story residential building will be installed. There is a Walgreens, there's a bank, and then there's a McDonald's, and a couple of other items just here. So as we cross the street in this quadrant, we've got the Publix, we've got banks, we've got insurance agencies, we've got pet foods, our pet food supply. So there's several places here that will draw people. And then on this side, finally in this quadrant here, we've got almost 700 residents in these buildings. This is a residential building where the first floor is retail, and here's a parking garage. So the idea here is this is the origination of several trips. All the residents will be attracted to what's at the north end, and we'll go there in a second. And this is also a location for the 275 residents that live along Southeast First Street to come to get the things they need to live their life daily. At the north end is our Town Square. I don't have a pretty graphic for you about Town Square, but these are some of the amenities they have. And the nice thing to know about Town Square is it's under development. We're going to have about 2,000 residential units in this vicinity. This is the cultural center of our city. And so these 2,000 units will provide the people and the vibrance of this community. And they will travel south to go to the grocery store. And we have an idea of how they're going to get there. And so I think Powell will talk about that in a moment.
Yeah, so we are very excited to be able to work with the TPA to really create connectivity within our city. As you can see, this is a screenshot of the TPA Greenways and Trails website. So the TPA, you guys have been thinking about this area. It's been in your library there to put some sidewalks to make it so that people could travel safely. So there is some sidewalk along Boynton Beach Boulevard, also along Ocean Avenue, and there is a sidewalk on Seacrest that may be in the project of developing perhaps. But what we wanted to point out is that between the Town Center project and our project, we really are going to be able to connect those two hubs that we've been talking about, the north and the south, and really provide people a safe way for them to travel. So not only we are fulfilling the vision of the TPA, which is to create greenways and trailways in Palm Beach County, we'll also be fulfilling the vision of the city of Boynton Beach, which is to create infrastructure that meets the demands and the needs of the growing community.
Yeah, okay.
That's good. So next, we're also very excited about another initiative that the city has, which is a bike sharing system. They are looking to put about 17 different locations for these bicycles. We'll have 84 of them. And if you can see here in the map, in red or pink here, you see some of the locations where those stations are going to be located. And you can see our projects being right in the middle, where people are really going to be able to use this facility, take the bike, go shopping, go to see, you know, whatever's happening in downtown, and just really use it in a safe way, which they wouldn't have otherwise, as we saw. So we're really excited about this opportunity, and we think that our project would really benefit the community.
Paula, I can really see the benefit of somebody living in Town Square being able to come down out of their apartment, rent one of these bikes, and ride all the way down Southeast First Street to get to the Publix that's down here.
That's right.
And I can also see the residents in this area taking a bike out of their garage to use the path to get to the supermarket.
That's right.
How did we get here? Well, initially, let me tell you a little bit about the City Hall. City Hall used to be where Town Square is, and it will be again, but for the moment it's under construction. And as a municipal worker, we would travel to the utilities plant that's right there on Woolwright. And so as we traveled the road for these last 10 years, we always saw pedestrians walking up and down this road on this two-lane road with no sidewalk. And they'd walk their dogs, but it wasn't really a safe condition for them. So we knew that there was a need. And so finally, we said, we're going to address this need. So we're going to give them two 5-foot sidewalks, and let's invite them to a meeting. Let's see what they say. And so we were really proud of ourselves. And so we scheduled a meeting, and we sent out 460 invitations. 41 people came. The people that came to this meeting are represented by the blue and red pins in this map. So this is where they live. And so we shared with them our ideas, and they listened. And then they said, they shared with us their thoughts. And so what they were concerned about is, yes, they'd like to be safe, and they'd like to use that road. But they also recognized that there were businesses on the road, and the businesses were quite concerned that anything that we did would impact their existing parking. So they were very skeptical that we'd be able to find a solution. And so between all three parties, ourselves, the residents, and the commercial retail owners, we floated the idea, or they suggested the idea of, let's put a path on one side of the road, that way we don't impact the parking on the east side of the road. And so with that, we came up with a 10-foot idea, our 10-foot shared use path, and they were happy with that. The other thing that they were concerned about was with drainage. And whenever we do a drainage project of paving, there's always more impervious, and there's always a great opportunity to fix the roads.
Right.
But the one thing I want to talk about, too, is when you have drainage projects, or when you have a project such as this that was developed intensely more in the 60s, late 60s, early 70s, in that time, we didn't have a lot of density. And so as they built these homes, drainage really wasn't a concern. So as you build more homes, more impervious, more runoff, more flooding. And so now, here we are in this new millennium, and so now we have drainage issues where once there was none. But so we spent money on this plan, and we've got Kimberly Horn has provided a 30% plan. And so that's why we know this plan can work. And so with their plan, we've commissioned them to do a study to tell us what else needs to be done to make the road safe. So safety concerns will be incorporated into this project. And I neglected to say a little bit earlier when we were on the Greenways plan, along Seacrest, this is Seacrest Boulevard here, there are several bus stops located here. And then along Boynton Beach Boulevard, there are several bus stops on Boynton Beach Boulevard. So again, our pathway facilitates access to those bus stops.
So along the letters of support, the 41 people that were there, they provided comments, they emailed us, they called us. Really, the voice was out, and we were really excited about that. Besides those residents, we also received letters of support from different local businesses, which are listed in the slide.
Okay. We're on our final few slides here. This one shows the hot spot. This hot spot is where pedestrian crashes occur most, and this is one of the nine that was founded by the TPA or the MPO at the time. It's at Seacrest and Boynton Beach Boulevard. You'll notice that our project, which is very adjacent to this hot spot, and what we're hoping was with the addition of this project, it will take some of the density of bicycle and pedestrian traffic off of Seacrest and put it on Northeast First Street or Southeast First Street, where it's safer and much more pleasant to travel, and therefore take this out of the yellow area and perhaps make it more of a green area. So our project is a safe street. It's a universally designed, meaning that all people of all abilities will be able to use it and for all purposes. We've listed a couple of things that we're going to do here to make this project safe. And I'm kind of speeding through this slide because I don't want to waste your time. And then finally, on this last impact, it's a green project. Why is it a green project? Well, it's a green project for one reason. Is the intent is to have people get out of their cars and to use the roads either with their bikes or by foot. Two other things that we're going to do to make this more green is we're going to recycle the asphalt that goes on the path and that goes on the roadway. It'll be recycled. One of the things we're also going to do is we're going to try to use crushed concrete in lieu of lime rock base. So we're trying to use materials that are available that don't have to be harvested. And then finally, we're going to provide stormwater. Right now, the stormwater ponds on the road and is dangerous. Right now, we're planning on installing an exfiltration trench, which will provide water quality and make the roads safer to travel. So, at conclusion, I'd like to say, if you really thought this project was great, I'd love to hear about it. And if you have any problems or you have any concerns about this project, PAL is more than capable of dealing with this. So please contact them, and we're available for questions.
All right, we have approximately 3 to 4 minutes.
You identify what me and my friends have found the best way to get through Boynton Beach, going from A1A and getting through the city, and what we end up doing, we end up going on Woolbride a little bit till we get to Seacrest, and then to, from Seacrest we go in through a community and end up on Gulf Road Southeast 73rd. And so and this is taking what cyclists would identify as the way to get from where we need to get to and go through your community. It's identical, and I think this approach makes it a lot. It's like a multi-use path beside a road, and I'm not real sure how you're going to go between the road and the multi-use path, but that's something to think about. Or I guess my question is, well, how would you do that?
Well, when you cross each of the roads, yes.
No, what I'm saying is I'm going along the route, and if I want to go on the multi-use path, my cyclists are going to want to go a little faster, but we want to go on that path and get out away from the road, the cars.
Right.
But we like to be able to get back into the road if there's mom and kids with strollers and stuff like that. So that part, you need to be able to go between one location and the other.
Well, there are several streets.
And these bikes are going to go on that same route, which is really good.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, we agree.
I think it's a really interesting approach.
Great, awesome.
Yeah, I know in one of your slides you showed that you had parking on one side and you're going to put basically your pathway on the other side.
Right.
Wouldn't be affecting also parking on the other side?
Well, there are still, well, you're correct. There is some on-street parking currently with the commercial residents or the retail uses that are on both sides of the road. There is an option at this point to narrow the 10-foot path for two blocks to a 5-foot path to create a little more space, and there might be some room to shift it. So we're still working out some of those kinks there, but for the most part, we feel like we're going to be able to address it.
And that really only happens on the south side of the project.
This
it really is not an issue until the last very block.
Yeah, you get more cars coming in as it through.
Yeah. Can you pull up the existing
photographs?
And does this project include any lighting and landscaping?
Yes, it does. Well, as far as street lighting is concerned, we are planning on trying to utilize the existing poles that you see here, and so we think there's there is a streetlight zone there, and all the streetlights recently been converted to LED, and so we found when you travel this in the evenings that the road is fairly well illuminated, but we do want to supplement it because we want this to be a path that's used 24 hours a day, but it's available for use 24 hours a day. And then in regards to landscaping, many of the residents will probably want to create some type of screen, so we suspect that they're going to probably try to screen more of the road with hedges and things of that nature.
There is some existing ones.
And then can you go to the next existing conditions?
Sure.
This is what we're looking
at. Right, so these are the trees that are existing.
See, there's already
existing. Right, okay. So the utilities are on the side, there's another light pole, and this is where the 10-foot path to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think it's really ideal to get off the Seacrest and divert path traffic for this mile.
That's for sure.
Do we have any?
Yeah, I like the project. It's a risk. Some risks I see are the loss of existing landscaping in the right of way. Mm-hmm. It looks like your path, if I understand it correctly, is going to go right to the back of the fence in some areas. So mm-hmm. I think that's something.
Well, in cases like that, if there are trees that are in our right of way, we've got a project going on the other side of Seacrest, mm-hmm. and what we're doing is we're taking trees that belong to the residents, because the residents plant these, in most cases they planted them from saplings, and we're relocating them further in, or deeper into the lot, because we want to preserve the trees.
And have you looked at the age of the other, because it looks like with adding exfiltration trench, the F-curve is almost going to be in a complete reconstruction. Have you looked at the age of the other utilities and utility conflicts with
part of our
project costs?
Yes, we have.
Yeah, part of our $2 million budget has a $500,000 allowance for replacing water and sewer lines.
That's right.
And have you looked at potentially with adding the F curve, your back of sidewalk is going to be higher than existing lots? Have you looked at a historic offsite drainage pattern to see if that's feasible?
We have. We've certainly considered that. We've got another project going on in the area. And so we've got a little bit of experience with this. Mostly this road is flat, like you're saying, but these mound, these lots, they do mound a bit. So I think what happened is when they originally put this road in, I think they cut it slightly lower than the adjacent grades.
What percent of your cost is for drainage?
$500,000 was included. It includes 24-inch RCP, including so that $500,000 was water utilities and drainage. But we're fully committed to fixing the drainage, so should our cost estimate come out a little higher.
So that's about half the cost of what you're requesting?
Actually, it's a quarter. So, well, you're right. I mean, we're saying this is a $2 million project, so it's a quarter of the project cost.
Any questions?
Yes.
So you're requesting $1 million from us and it's a $2 million project?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Because of
the road
construction.
Hey, Gareth. That was kind of my question, too. Everyone kind of jumped into the drainage question. I was curious as to the if you had enough money for, I guess, a more complete drainage system or do something like French drainage just to get the water from the surface just to percolate down. I don't know how much the costs were going to be because it's a mile-long project,
right?
Correct?
Right.
Well, you know, it's funny that you bring that up because what's happening at the south end, so basically everything south of 12, which is the slide here, so here, we've got a drainage project going on right now,
right now.
And so with this concept, basically, we said in January when we will attempt this project. And so what we're doing now with the engineer of the drainage project is we're saying, you need to put your structures in a location that's suitable for this future design. And so we're looking at that right now. And so some of this drainage will be in, and therefore not really be at a full expense, as you might expect. It's for this area here that we're going to have to focus on drainage costs.
Correct.
Yeah.
Do I have more questions?
We have one more. In one of your figures, you showed the TPA graph, and you're kind of parallel to it. I'm assuming that your project is not going to replace the TPA recommended project with the green dots.
No,
it's kind of add to it.
Last year, we applied for a grant from the local initiatives for an expansion of West Beach Boulevard. And so with that, we were awarded a grant for that. And so what's going to happen with this greenway, it's slightly different. So the idea is we're going to have sharrows on West Beach Boulevard here, and then we're also going to have sharrows that run down Ocean this way.
How about the north-south one parallel to your project?
Well, this is
Seacrest?
Yes, this is Seacrest here. And we do have plans of adding a bike lane there.
And it's kind of complementary, right. Not replaced.
Exactly. And in fact, it's going to match. I don't know if you've been to Delray lately.
That was just, I was looking at the details, because we do, because we ride down to Woolbright, then we have to navigate across Woolbright to Seacrest and get on the other side of Seacrest, and then we go through through that community.
Right.
Cut into, and we, it, you need to understand why we're doing what we're doing, but if you could use that same kind of approach and get up to 23rd,
right.
And then if we ever get the 23rd straightened out, because that's a mess.
Why you got a bridge
because,
there?
Well, there's the road over the 95.
Right.
That needs to be. We need to have a bike lane there.
Yeah, it's intended that Seacrest will be more for the intense bike users such as yourself. I think this is going to be more of a leisurely.
Yeah, but it's following the same basic
you're right.
Approach.
You're absolutely right.
And if you get a bike lane on Seacrest, that'd be nice. But if we could get to Woolbright and up to Seacrest,
right.
we've got an A.
The real difference between the shared use path versus the bike lane that would be on Seacrest is the fact that when this crosses roads, the bicyclist, for safety reasons, should go slower both
yeah.
ways.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're on Seacrest on your bike, you can basically cross these roads without really having to stop.
Yeah, I understand. But the bicycle rental things,
they'll
just pop on this thing and they'll be over, the first thing you know, they'll be over the bridge at A1A.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's exciting.
We're very excited about it. Thank you. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Thank you very much.
Do I have any more questions? Oh, Guys, thank you so much for your presentation.
Thank you.
Thank you guys for coming today.
All right, so we have one more before lunchtime, and it's Indian Trail Improvement District. Are they here today?
I believe they were outside. I thought I saw them outside.
Let me go look for them.
I'm good.
I understand.
Thank you so much.
She got married.
I'll see the next one.
Yeah, definitely. Send it to me, I'll get it off the
board.
Yeah, you can bring it on the table.
Thanks, Wes. You're welcome. You too. Thank you. Nice meeting you. Thank you so much for working.
Excellent.
So it's not this one?
It's not that.
Good job, Sarah.
Okay. And guys, just to reiterate, I don't feel comfortable rushing our applicants because we're giving away these $1 million projects. I feel like we really need to vet all the questions.
Right.
And if we end up running at the end of the day 20 minutes behind, I feel like I'm all worth it.
I wasn't sure if you all think because you get it.
Yes,
that's fine. I can't guarantee they'll be here. Like if we do anything early.
No. Okay. We're talking about running a clerk. There's no possibility of doing that.
Here we go.
When our presentation.
You ready?
I think so.
Okay. Good morning. My name is Ryan Ruskin. I'm with the Indian Trail Improvement District. This is Joe Capra with CapTech. We're here to present this project, the non-motorized improvements out in the acreage. And I'm going to move to the next slide here.
Is it working for you?
There we go. I'm actually going to pass it on to Joe, who's going to get up and talk about the project, the benefits and the location and why it's so important to the district.
Well, again, good morning, everyone. I'm Joe Capra with CapTech Engineering. I'm one of about three engineers that work for Indian Trails Improvement District. And I tend to handle transportation items. So obviously, that's why I'm here to talk to you all today. Obviously, we have our application. We're looking to construct a 10-foot-wide multi-use trail, construct a 5-foot sidewalk adjacent to that. It's about 4.5 miles. It has about 9 major crosswalks that we want to put across the roads. It's multi-use, stabilized surface is what we're proposing. The sidewalk, currently there's some sidewalk out there, very narrow. We want to mill that up and then make a wider sidewalk. And our total cost is about $1.15 million total cost. So let's see. Let's play this. I got the right movement now.
It might have been switched off.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Oh, yeah, it was
turned
off.
Okay, so essentially what we're proposing, just to give you a little bearings here, North Lake Boulevard, Sunmel Pratt Whitney Road here, Coconut Boulevard here, Orange Boulevard. The green reflects the county roads, and the road we're proposing to put this trail on is Temple, right here, and Hall, this here. Pretty much, as I stated earlier, there's crosswalk, there's asphalt, and there's a multi-use path. This slide has a lot of things on it, but you can see we have some school crossings in the area. We have kind of addressed transportation from all angles for the district. You can see on here we have 40 mile per hour speed limit here, so we really don't want to have people in the road at all, whether they're on a bike or whether they're walking or anything. And so that's 40 there, it's 40 here. I just want you to know that these are district-owned roads that we're talking about, but in the district, all traffic controls is approved and by the county. So, anyway, that's to kind of give you the location. I think, as I stated earlier, that we're trying to have a multi-approach to all, comprehensive approach to all the transportation issues out there. And this slide here pretty much depicts a lot of accidents. And this is the corridor we're talking about. Temple, Coconut, there's 26 accidents. Six right here at Avocado, 11 at 140th, Grapevine is three. 12 here at Hall, and this is where we go north basically to North Lake. And then obviously we're also looking to go to the west, and there's a couple accidents here and some accidents on Temple on the east, I'm sorry, the west side of Seminole Crag. Again, I just want you to know, we feel there's a lot of accidents out there. We have people driving the speed studies we have done have shown in our 40-mile-per-hour area, they're averaging about 51 miles per hour. So we've been trying to do a lot of things to slow people down, and certainly some of those things have to do with traffic calming. I know that's not what this grant's about, but obviously we want to get people out of the roadways and into these multi-use paths. This kind of shows you again the speeds. I won't go through them again, 40 and 40 here. And believe me, we have asked the county to lower the speeds for us, and we are working with them, and we hope to lower some of them. They're actually going to lower North Lake right now in the new improvements to 45 miles per hour. So, we have a lot of work in that area to get the speeds down. This kind of shows you stop signs. I only just point that out to you as it's basically these are the prevailing lanes on stop signs. So we've done a lot of different things to try to keep people from speeding and everything. And I know you don't like to use stop signs for traffic calming, but the fact of the matter is we have some movement here that really get people to increase their speeds quite a bit. The prevailing lanes. I think probably one of the more important items here is there are public items around the district that we want to kind of make sure we have access to through this multi-use path. And so we have different types, libraries and schools and so forth. There are parks, and at the end of this one, we do have a park right here at home, but Hamlin. So. And there's a community center that we're improving in that area. All right, I wanted you to know that we're not only looking at this from non-motorized improvements, we've also been coming in, and you guys were nice enough to provide us traffic calming. These are several areas that we are providing traffic calming right in the same area. This road of Temple and Hall seems to have the most accidents, and usually when we have accidents out there, there are fatalities. And so I just want you to know, we are trying to slow the traffic down. Again, we really need the pass to keep the pedestrians safe and sound and the bikers safe and sound. So I just want you to know, we have a number of traffic calming things, some that we are doing on our own, such as this pilot project that's using some rubberized cushion, speed cushions and radar signs, and we're checking the speeds there. It's kind of our pilot project, but then funding that you all have provided for us and other grants deal with the same mid-block raised crossing, speed tables, raised median intersections, and so forth. Again, this is the project area. Again, from Coconut, Temple Boulevard, Coconut to Seminole Pratt and up Hall. Again, it shows you the school crossing guard areas and so forth. Our intent is at each one of the crosswalks, we're going to use a standard pavement markings for crosswalks, and we want to provide a solar powered flasher at each of the crossings. We need things out there to kind of get people's attention. If you've been out there, you know that we have stop signs and they have flashers on the top of them. But people seem to, they get mesmerized or something, but they blow right through them. And so we've been trying all different types of things, LED types. We've tried some of these that, you know, that have flashers all around the symbols. I mean, those are things we're buying in ourselves to change things up, try to wake people up. Because, as you know, it's a checkerboard arrangement for all the roads, so people kind of forget how fast they're going maybe, and hopefully these kind of things will make them more aware of what's around them. So that's what we're planning on putting at all the crosswalks for the multi-use path. This is an existing road section. We have plenty of right-of-way out there, 80-foot of right-of-way. and we probably have about a 3 to 4 foot area of sidewalk now that's in, and it's usable, but it's obviously not wide enough, so we want to make that wider, and then we put a 10-foot multi-use path. It'll be sodded with a stabilized subgrade. We'll make some minor adjustments to our swells and so forth with this money. This is our community support. I believe you have these letters. I just wanted to make sure. This is one from the Board of County Commissioners, and then one from the Acreage Landowners Association, and I'm pretty sure you already have the letter of resolution from the district itself. So, again, our purpose and benefit here is safety for the pedestrians, hikers, bikers, and the drivers, of course. We want to improve transportation modes to create a better community. We want to enhance access to the schools and the parks for the non-motorized users. Everything we put out there will be ADA compliant, and basically, as I stated earlier, we're trying to do a comprehensive transportation system improvement for the whole Indian Trails Improvement District. This area is important to us because we have a lot of accidents. And with that, I will entertain any questions.
Can you go back to the cross-section? Okay, Michael.
Say that again?
The cross-section. She was calling on Michael.
Yeah, the cross-section. There we go.
Okay.
Hi. Does ITID maintain 140th Avenue North? Is that under your jurisdiction?
140th? Yes. Okay. Yes. I'm not sure 140th we maintain from pretty much certainly throughout the district.
Right.
Just we don't go, you know. I don't want to say that we don't go north of North Lake Boulevard.
No. I mean, my concern is more the intersection of Orange and North and 140th.
Can you go to like that map that shows the roads?
Yeah, let me go there. That would be. Yeah. Let me go there. So I just want to make sure I'm clear on. So there's 140.
Right. Yeah. Pretty much the intersection. I know you've been mentioning pedestrian safety as well as, I guess, slowing down some of the traffic. And to that end, we've been having some issues regarding Acreage Pines. And I think now because of what's happening with, and I don't want to go too far afield, but the Westlake community now, they've been doing a lot of construction. They will be doing a lot of construction for the foreseeable future. They've been using Orange to get the trucks in to go back and forth because it's one of those main arterials that actually gets to Seminole Prep.
Right.
So we've been having issues a lot with traffic and speed, and our concerns are for Acreage Pines in the morning and afternoon. The drop-off and pickup has been affected a lot by that enhanced traffic. So we were wondering, and since you brought it up, were you looking more so because I think they just have stop signs at that intersection? And that intersection is something I would think we'd want to look at with regards to maybe a more formal traffic signal. I just was wondering if that's part of it, or maybe down the road if you'd look at that, because that's something that I think that would really help that area, safety of the pedestrians as well as the motorized, motorized traffic. So I was just wondering if you ever looked at that.
Well, we've been talking to the county somewhat about it. I know we probably can do more there. I believe that's the intersection you're talking about, right?
Yes.
There.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, and there's four-way stop, I believe, at that one. Right,
right.
Now.
You got a county park as well, so there's a lot of traffic in that area.
And again, we know that there's improvements being planned in here, but certainly that's one of the intersections. Just so we're clear, the green ones are the county roads. We obviously encourage them to mm-hmm. make improvements on traffic safety. We're hoping, just like all these traffic calming features that we're putting throughout our roads, we're hoping they will put them in. We are doing roundabouts in some areas, and so we actually spoke to the county engineer probably back in November about looking at that intersection and some over here on Coconut, and we did talk briefly about some traffic calming, like roundabouts or different options for that. So I know they're looking at some options with us. But they do control that road. I just want you to know that.
Oh, you talked about Motassem Alter. You talked to?
Actually, he was in the meeting,
okay.
and actually the county engineer was there too, and the deputy engineer. So,
right.
Tanya was in there. So, but like I said, everything you said is dead on. We know that's a problem intersection we need to be working on.
All right.
For existing conditions, does the sidewalk and multipurpose path exist, or there's nothing there?
There is a sidewalk that's there, and we are going to widen that sidewalk. There is no multi-use path.
And they're both, are they going to be, can you go to the cross-section? Are they on one side of the street and they're side by side? So it's kind of like 15 feet of asphalt, or is it kind of a break?
No, it's only going to be 5 foot of asphalt. We're going to widen what's there, and then we're going to put stabilization and sod in this area. And it'll be a flatter area, because right now there is a swale in this area.
So where's the multi-purpose path going?
Right here, the 10 foot.
And that's going to be sod? Oh, it's...
stabilized sod and stabilized subgrade.
Oh, all right, so it's a sidewalk with... All right, I just haven't seen that before for a multi-purpose right. path.
So is it something that you could ride a bike on easily, or not?
Yeah, we'll be able to ride a bike on it. You know, we have a variety of users out there besides bicycles, besides pedestrian. Again, we, you know, not that this is going to be, I don't want to designate this as there's equestrian people out there. So we're trying to have something that all people can use out there. And so that's why we went with the stabilized subgrade in a leveler area here to the side.
So if you ride a mountain bike, it would be easy to ride.
Yeah, correct, yes.
How about an off-road bike? Can an off-road bike ride?
Yes.
I mean, how about a street bike?
Yeah.
I wouldn't think so. No.
Well, it depends on what kind.
The newer ones with that have a wider tire.
The hybrid.
Well, they're not even a hybrid because they're up to about 32 millimeters. They're that wide. So they can ride up that.
Right, and they can ride on, but they have the ability to at least ride on the path, too,
on
the sidewalk itself. Yeah. So. But right now it's too narrow, so that's why we kind of want to make sure they have the opportunity to ride here. We certainly don't want them here because they're going too fast. So
basically, you already have the sidewalk. The project is about adding this 10 feet wide, multi-use.
Yeah, well, we have a part of the sidewalk. These were built probably 20 years ago. They may be three and a half feet wide.
Okay.
We're going to make this wider, and then we're basically going to resurface that.
So your existing is a 3 foot wide. So
yeah, it varies. I don't want you to say it's always that way, but it varies. But it's very narrow. That's all I'm trying to
say. So I think it's 4.5 miles.
In addition to the pathway, are you including other?
Yeah, can we get Google Maps?
Yeah, the crosswalks, I believe.
Yeah, there's cross
and the flashers also.
Yeah, the flashers are on there and also.
Zoom into Oxahatchee Groves area, Indian Trail. So, right.
So we're in. You can pull up like county permits and
Templeton Hall. So this is Templeton Hall, guys. Where y'all want to go?
Well, we're pulling go down to street level.
Yeah,
go to the project site and street leveling.
So do I just keep doing this?
Yeah. Right there on Temple and Hall, or where?
Go to Rhodes.
All right, so this is Temple East Hall.
Is this on the project street?
Yes.
Thank you. This is
very.
So then you could drive it too. So that sidewalk is getting widened and improved, and then the 10-foot stabilized grass multi-purpose path.
Correct.
How wide are the travel lanes?
They're about 12 feet wide, so we show from that section.
And
the
question.
Length is
4.5 miles.
So the stabilized sod, that surface, was that basically to accommodate equestrians?
To accommodate anything that could go on.
Because I could see what would happen here is that if somebody is out there cycling, they're going to be on the asphalt just because they're going to be able to go faster. And then when they encounter a pedestrian, they're going to probably have to go into the sod. So that's kind of the vision.
Yeah.
And the sod was chosen to accommodate equestrians.
Right.
Can we drive it, like go along the road?
Sure.
So these are our rumble strips every time we have several of these before we come to stop ahead. We have a lot of people running stop signs out there.
Well, and I've been out there at night, and it's so dark. And then you kind of get mesmerized, and all of a sudden, here's a stop sign, and you bet it's from me.
Yeah, and this is probably one of the few intersections that has a light. There's not a lot of lights out there, but some of the major asphalt, you know, we have a lot of dirt roads out there.
Yes.
The
this is west of, this is west of Hall on Temple, looking west. And then it's looking east. Sidewalks, the conditions of the sidewalks. So that's three, yeah, that's like two or three.
No, it isn't. The only place we have lighting is going to be at the crosswalks where we have the lights to distinguish that there's a crosswalk.
Are there any improvements to the surface street, to the road, proposed as part of this project?
No, sir.
It's frozen again. Is there anything going to happen in the future with the road to maybe accommodate road cyclists? To sort of avoid some of those conflicts for these multi-use areas?
I would say no. Okay. Let me tell you how the district works, because it's a little different than most municipalities. Mm-hmm. Basically, they assess people, they don't, for roads, and basically they assess the people that are on this paved road to pay the road. It's coming up almost on their 20th year.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're really not doing it. We have had some discussions as developers come in surrounding us to do things like that. They've been a little reluctant, but we may have some of that in the future if some of those projects happen. But those are the bigger projects, okay, that are kind of surrounding the Indian Trails. Some of them are actually in our district, but there's no telling when that'll happen. So I don't want you to think it never will happen. But
right.
When you're assessing each of the individual property owners for that road, you know, they're really kind of like, they don't mind us overlaying things, but they really don't want us to improve upon finding consensus in that area sometimes.
Thank you. Hall Boulevard is also included?
Yes.
Okay, so let's do it. This is just north of, well, this is just north of Temple. This is Hall, north of Temple. Similar cross-section.
Joe, have you looked at what's going to happen with the reduction of swale volume when you carry that flatter cross-slope? Has that been analyzed? Is there any issues with that?
Yeah, we did look at that, and there will be a little less volume, but the fact of the matter is we're getting more capacity in our canals because they've been cleaning them out better. So we recognize that there is a point where we can't go in some of the swale areas. Some of the things we also have to worry about is adjustments for culverts. One of the items in there that says a utility adjustment is really a culvert adjustment.
Oh, see, yeah, we can see that they go under each driveway.
Yeah, so we'll be doing
that's
this.
A roadway.
That's
a roadway.
Yeah, that's a roadway. So.
But they still have them on the driveways too, right?
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
Can you tell us about the crosswalk where
you're providing it? You just were at 1 month.
Oh, was I?
Yeah, because let's get to a paved. We're talking about the paved crossings, okay? So let's remember, out there we have paved roads, east, west, north, south, and where those two come together, we have a crosswalk. If we have a dirt road, we may not have a crosswalk. Like you're thinking. So.
Okay,
so that's about one right there. So
you can have
if you want to, do you want to go back to the presentation or
talk about it right here?
This is fine.
Whatever they want to do.
Yeah. So essentially, that you know, we would have a crosswalk here, and the markings again will be approved by the county because that's who has to approve all our work out here. But we showed the DOT standard in our thing, and then there would be a flashing light here and here so that people would know that there's a crosswalk there.
Kind of solar.
Pardon? Solar.
Would you cross Hall too this way?
We do at the end have a place where that's going to happen. Yes. Close to the park, it will have that.
So equestrian, the horses are also going to cross?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yes. That's because we were talking about where we're going to place that push button.
Okay. Yeah, you're going to need because they...
And beside the flasher, you said you're going to have some light, conditional light.
No, there are some of the major roads, there is lights that are out there, but there's not a lot of lights out there. Gene was right, we don't have many lights at all.
And signage, how are you going to inform those walkers, pedestrians, and then the horse riders? How are you going to designate the path and the area where the horse is going to ride?
We should do that. Mm-hmm. So we can do that. That's
I'm just
a good
saying.
Point. We do need to put a few signs out there. Because
The horses, you know, do these things if you go on the path, and then the rider and the walker and the and the pedestrian.
Good point. Good suggestion. But we'll put those out there.
Who cleans up after the horses?
He's been itching to ask that question.
Rain does fall.
Yeah.
Well, the district does maintain the swells, so I'm going to say the district does that.
Because then it just makes the paths unusable at some point.
That's what I'm saying.
The users who may not do the same.
That's my point. I mean, you cannot. Yes, the horse riders are also going to go on there, trust me, and they will also go in the swale area, but when they poop, they'll poop on this, you know, the hard pavement, and then the guy or the woman going on the bicycle or just walking along.
We have equestrian areas out there that the district does maintain. To say they do it for level of maintenance, I don't know that for sure.
Yeah,
but it's a point well taken.
Yeah,
if we're going to allow them to use that area, we need to make sure that we maintain.
Education, that's basically what teaching.
You're right on that, yeah.
Do we have more questions?
I'd like to make a comment.
Yeah.
For your sidewalk widening, just make sure that you indicate that in your cost sheet. You'll have to work with FDOT on stipulating that because they do not pay for sidewalk replacements. They don't pay for demolition. Things like that, you'll have to coordinate with them. Sidewalk replacements are ineligible. Mm-hmm. So hopefully your cost sheet will get that.
That'll
be later.
Okay. So, whatever we can get will be helpful to the
district. Looks to me like there's no sidewalk at all there.
There's some of them, there's no sidewalk.
That could be the video order.
Do we have any questions? Guys, thank you so much for your presentation.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
And we do have lunch, sir. I'm going to let Alexa talk about lunch.
So we have a 35-minute break for lunch. There's cheese, veggie, and pepperoni pizza. So help yourself. And there's salad for anyone that doesn't have pizza. And if you need water, coffee, anything else, there's vending machines downstairs. If you want soda or anything else. I would like to welcome the City of Palm Beach Gardens for their pedestrian crossing facility. Applicants have 10 minutes to present, followed by 5 minutes of questions. If you need more time, just let us know.
Okay, very good. Thank you so much. I'm Dawn Sonneborn, Senior Planner at Palm Beach Gardens Planning and Zoning. With me is Natalie Crowley, our Director of Planning and Zoning, and Mike Morrow, our Operations Director in our Engineering Department. We're really pleased to be submitting our grant application for our pedestrian crossing enhancement program. This is a program that we have for 12 existing crosswalks within our city. They serve both public and private schools, as well as numerous parks, which I'll explain a little bit further. And they're existing crosswalks within all the streets you'll see. And what we're doing is adding the rectangular rapid flash beacons, the flashing within the pavement, and then the signs that go along with that for the pedestrians when they're flashing. So many of these are already school crossings, because you see all the schools that are in the area. It will be solar powered with the battery backup. And our total FHWA within our application is $334,015, with our local funding at $62,915. This is in your package. It's the typical cross-section of each of the crosswalks. And like I said, we do have the existing pavement markings, so we're adding the reflective beacons. So we have 12 crossings within the city. They're all existing. Eight of them are along our Holly Drive, which is one of our local residential roadways. You'll see these are all local residential intersections along Holly Drive. So this is, there's eight that are along Holly. So a little bit about Holly Drive. It is a two-lane roadway. It has a landscape median in the middle, and it has turn lanes. A lot of our folks use that. You'll see the red dashed line is Holly. A lot of people will use that as a cut through or a pass by to stay off of some of the more busier roads within our city. Palmtran has 13 stops along Holly Drive, so it's a busy Palmtran route as well. And there's numerous pedestrian generators that are just to the north of Holly Drive. We have our Palm Beach Gardens High School. There's over 2,600 students enrolled there. And then the elementary school as well. There's over 700 students there. All the areas in green are the parks that are just to the north. And the single family homes that you see all in this area, that is a little bit of an older community within our neighborhood, within our city. It's one of the first communities, and there's over 1,100 homes in that area. So a lot of those families are biking and walking to all these great parks and the schools in the area. So first, I want to explain a little bit about our parks. We have a phenomenal Parks and Recreation Department, and we're well known with the parks in our city. So when you see our application and you see, hey, there's some parks in the area, these are fantastic parks. So the first park, now this is just a portion of Holly Drive. You see the little yellow dot is one of the first crosswalks. The rest are to the east. This is kind of zoomed in to show the parks. The Plant Drive Park, there it is. It's a little over 8 acres. It has softball and baseball. It's got basketball, pickleball, which is super popular within our city. It's really, really growing. Roller hockey and another skate park that the kids love. So it's a very popular park that people are walking and biking to. And then just north of that in the yellow area is our Lilac Park and our Lilac Athletic Center facility. That's 17 acres, and it has, again, baseball and softball. It has canoe, kayak, and fishing, because it's a lake there. There's a great dog park, so a lot of people are walking their dogs to the area. Exercise multi-purpose trails. Here's the pictures of all of them. What do you think? So you can see this great dog park. It's got a great playground. So that's a very, very popular park as well. And then our Burns Road Recreation Center. Again, all of these are connected. This is less than a quarter mile walk from here up here. And it's about 700 feet, again, to get to Lilac Park. So all of them are interconnected. We have pedestrian crossings here that go across the canal, so there's walkability, and you can bike all the way to connect all the parks. So our Burns Road Recreation Center is one of our largest facilities. It has our main recreation center building where a lot of the activities are. It's got two Olympic-sized swimming pools. It's got a great splash zone for the kids, so this is super, super popular. And again, it's got a great multi-purpose trail and playground and picnic facilities. And then as you go further east on Holly Drive, you see again, all the yellow are the existing crosswalks that are part of our program. One of our newest parks is our Ironwood Park. It's a small little park, but it's got a great playground, and it's got a very popular zip line, so kids are flocking to it. Makes me want to be a kid again because it's a really cool zip line. Yeah, it's great. And then there's a smaller passive park at the very end, Twins Park. So then moving a Yeah, these are all of the photos of those areas that's in our package. And then we have four additional crosswalks, one by Episcopal School, by Lighthouse Drive, Riverside as you go a little further south, as you get towards the middle school. So the middle school, I mean the State Parks Episcopal School, you'll see it's on both sides of Gardens East Drive, so you've got kids crossing that area. You can see all the kids here that use use that crosswalk, so it's a really important crosswalk. And then we have Oaks Park, which is just to the north of that. It's a great campus, is actually split. Yeah, the campus is split. And then as you go further south, towards the middle school, we have the Lake Catherine Park, which is a beautiful passive park, so a beautiful lake, nice trails, and then our Lake Catherine Sports Complex, which is another big facility with multiple softball fields. And then there's the crosswalk there, and these are photos. So we're really excited. We have a letter of support from the school district that's in your package. I'm Ms. Garrison. And she's really stressing here the support and how it's greatly improving the safety of all the children. Because like I said, most of those are school crossing crosswalks right now. And then tonight on our city council meeting, we have our letter, a resolution of support. So once that's
finished,
yes, tonight, we will be adding that, supplementing that to our.
And we don't anticipate any issue.
No.
It's on consent, and after the agenda briefings, they've all been very supportive.
Yes. So again, we're really pleased that you are all considering our grants, and we're here to answer any questions you may have.
Can you go back to the first slide that shows the retrofit of the crosswalk with the lights? Do we have questions while we're getting back?
This one?
Nope, keep going.
Yeah.
There. So I want to understand, the crosswalks now are at grade, mm-hmm. and you're going to be adding these lights. Do they flash or do they just shine?
I understand they flash.
They flash.
So how do they, when you push a button, they flash?
They operate on Wi-Fi. They're solar powered, so that they'll charge themselves, and they're all interconnected. I believe they're either Wi-Fi or Bluetooth, one or the other. But you push the button, they start blinking on their own. We have, two examples in the city? Where at, that's Kyoto and downtown at the Gardens and then Burns Road between the campuses. And they're well used, they're all solar powered. Their maintenance is really the batteries for the solar operation. And then if we have any of the reflectors that have issues, we change those.
I'm trying to understand, are they embedded in the pavement?
No, they're just flush with the pavement. Much like a raised pavement marker. You know, so they're only an inch and a half, 2 inches.
And they're a pavement reflector.
Right.
Yes.
There you go.
Or less, yeah.
You have sensor or you have to push the button?
You have to push the button.
And since you already have two other locations, do you know if people push the button all the time?
Oh, yeah.
Kids do. I want to emphasize, too, that a lot of the crosswalks have crossing guards, but there's a lot of program activities outside of the school hours where the crossing guards are not there and children are crossing a lot, too, and on weekends, of course.
Now, were these crosswalks paid for with a former prior TE grant?
No, we've done them. So we currently operate between.
What is the maintenance like on the flashers? It's something I think would be interested in for the parks department.
It's about $15,000 a year, and that's actually being pretty conservative.
$15,000 a year per intersection?
No, for all of them.
So it's about.
And that also includes replacement projected replacements. So, you know, really, we think it's less than that. You know, it's probably closer to 10. But if you're factoring in replacement equipment,
it's a little better than $1,000 a year
per station.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just curious. Are these on the approved FDOT?
Yes, they are. They're in the UPL and they're in the approved products list.
So, how do they loom down or I'm trying to visual what they
have. They have built-in shields that send the light out, won't blind you when you're walking up to them, and won't blind you in a car. They're designed to let you know that somebody's there
and it's just, and it's to improve the enhancement of the crosswalk. And low light areas, such as if you were getting out of school at 6, 7 o'clock in the previous time, when it was darker, you would definitely be able to see somebody crossing that. And even during broad daylight, the enhancement that the lighting gives is amazing, because they're LEDs and they shine so much brighter, but not to the point where it would cause any problems with vehicular traffic.
It is a yellow light, like what you're showing?
Yes.
Why is that yellow?
Michael?
You can have either one. It would depend on the area that
you
use.
My
hey, you guys raise your hand so that
no, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Michael, go ahead. No.
Regarding the intersections that were chosen, were they chosen because, I guess, proximity to amenities, or were there statistics with regards to pedestrian, I guess, incidents or vehicular incidents with pedestrians that warranted these 5 or 6 or 7 intersections to be chosen for the enhancements?
It's really just the location and next to and immediately adjacent to connecting the park facilities and the school.
Okay, so there weren't any, I mean, thankfully, but I mean, there weren't any statistics for pedestrians who weren't.
We don't have a database or anything like that of counts crossing the PED, the utilizing the crossing, but.
Thank you.
And Bob, you had a question?
Is it yellow paint as well as yellow light?
No. That's just the graphic.
And if you ride over these, it's like a reflector light.
Correct.
Feel it was going over my bike.
How durable have the two existing locations been, and how effective?
Very effective. The folks that cross there regularly, we have big events, and especially at the Burns campus, and you know, you'll have parking on one side of the road, and people certainly obey those, and they're respectful of them. The actual maintenance has not been much, other than the solar batteries, because they wear out. But for the most part, I think we maybe replaced a handful of the beacons, but not many. They're very durable.
Yeah, I think, you know, we at the county level, pretty much interested in evaluating different type of pedestrian crosswalks, you know, basically not signalized intersections. Do you have some kind of rule of thumb? When do you pick this versus, let's say, rapid flashers or some other type? I mean, do you have some kind of rules where to put them?
Well, the guidelines that the DOT has for the rapid flashers, we have those as well in some of the locations, especially the one in Burns Road. They have the rapid flasher. And then the DOT had their approved products. They use them in high pedestrian areas, you know, especially in tourist areas, but also along with the school areas. So that's why we're using them over here.
Yeah, this is kind of a random comment. We're putting in solar scoreboards and not running electric tour scoreboards. And I said, how is that possible? And they said, solar has come so far and LED lights use such little electricity that the massive wiring we used to do is no more.
Technology has come a long way.
Yeah, I guess I have some questions on the flashers if people don't have specific questions on the detail of the project.
I'm like, this is fascinating.
Because we've been asked to investigate these too. Mm-hmm. So we've had in the past we had existing installations even earlier in my career that we removed because there were maintenance issues. But I've heard that they've, with the LEDs, have gotten better. So just where do you have them now?
We have them at Kyoto and downtown at the Gardens.
Okay.
That's so just east just, of alternate A1A.
Since when?
So if you walk out of Yard House, head south, and you can cross the road right there.
Okay. And so you're like 30,000-40,000 installation location, is that kind of?
That's about right.
Are these the ones, I'm not getting into the weeds, but where you just kind of saw cut a groove and you put the wire in and it doesn't have, like?
These Some of them do have wires. It all depends on the manufacturer. That I think the two manufacturers that we're using, one of them is, oh, help me out here. It's either Sparco or Universal has them.
Okay.
And they, one of them requires a wire trench and one doesn't.
I'll give you a call outside of this.
Yeah, yeah, that's fine.
But yeah, it's interesting. We've been asked to look into the same thing at downtown. So.
Yeah, and I'm thinking Carlin Park, we have the amphitheater on one side, parking on another, and right. Nighttime venues, it's kind of difficult.
You know, somebody, Patty, in fact, you have some of these roads, the RRPs end up like so far off to the side that people, I don't think it's in your field.
Right.
Vision, and that's my thought.
Yeah,
across. Yeah, because we have, like, part of Palm Meadow, it's four lanes with no median, and Boca, and it'd be nice to have an RRP in the middle. You can, you end up sticking them at the back of the sidewalk, and people don't necessarily see them.
So you got a wide corridor.
Yeah.
I mean, have you considered some type of detection of pedestrians so they don't have to push the button?
No, we haven't.
I'll tell you, we were asked. We were asked because we had people for religious reasons, they can't operate a button on Saturday. We've had a lot of maintenance problems with the detectors where you don't have to push a button. So I would, from your operation maintenance standpoint, I would caution you not to do that. It's been a lot of, at least a brand new tech has been good.
What religion is that?
Oh.
Yeah, we heard the same story, increase in the cost of maintenance due to the sensor technology.
Yeah.
That's why we went with the push button.
And hopefully they'll come up with better stuff.
Yeah, as it advances.
Yeah.
When the manufacturer tells you don't do that, you gotta look at it.
Do you have any more questions?
No, I have one more question. The picture, there's two pictures, one with the lights in the yellow. And that one on the right, is that one actually one of those? Or is that one you're looking at replacement?
No, that's just a stock picture. That's just a stock picture. They're showing it on that it can be used on paper brick.
Oh, I see.
Oh, so are your crosswalks,
we can put it up on the map.
Yeah, less Google Earth it.
All right.
they're already striped.
Right.
Yeah. There is opportunity, of course, through our own program. There are local roads too, as we have money to lay faux pavers. You know, there's this great material now that we've used as an adhesive, which provides for that same look as pavers, and we've used that on some of our local roads.
Really?
Which is a whole different discussion. But, yeah. So there's opportunity to do with that picture show in the future.
Because we were asked for money for this maybe 10 years ago, and they brought the unit, and the unit was like this big, and then you had to excavate the pavement and put it in, and I guess that...
That's old school.
Downtown Stewart had it years ago, and they ripped them out, and had so many. Every time we had lightning, that stuff is what actually was like what was used in the airfields. They kind of took the stuff with runway lighting, which was very expensive and hard to maintain.
Yeah. Because I wanted to see them. Okay, so this is at Burns, east of military on Burns.
Okay,
and apparently it's right here, right?
That's it.
Yep.
Okay, and I'll do a street view.
And that's outdated.
Yeah, that may be old.
Let's see if the street view is
good.
Oh, I'm in a parking lot somewhere.
Yeah, keep turning.
Hold on, it's it's frozen. Hold on, guys. It's like,
it does that.
Yeah.
There you go.
You're almost there.
A little bit more.
You have to big children, so it's just.
This is why I like a mouse. I don't like trackpads.
Yes, I like mouses.
Just like an RPM.
Okay, let's try like a more delicate approach here. Here we go. There we go. Okay, there they are. Yeah,
so that's the existing crosswalk.
Oh, okay.
And that's where we would see.
I thought you had another one existing.
No, this is an updated. Okay. I don't see the RRPs.
Oh, this is
there it is.
Yeah.
There's one.
D. So these are the, this is what Eric was talking about too.
Right.
Where you have the art. Hey, you guys.
Hey.
They don't have the.
It's called the rapid.
You guys show.
Rapid red flash beacon. So it's an RRFB. And so this here flashes red right here. And it's proven to be pretty effective. However, it can be challenging with wide corridors, like Eric was mentioning. So in a wide corridor situation, it'd be nice to have ideally.
Well, you know what, too, my other take is there's so many older drivers with diminished nighttime vision that even me, I've had people, like, in my neighborhood on the side of the road, and I'm like, all of a sudden, there they are, because there's not, it's not well lit in my neighborhood.
So... I thought you all had one. Or
Kyoto.
Kyoto.
Go to Kyoto.
Kyoto.
That one's been in longer.
I mean, it's not nighttime, so we can see it.
Right. Right. Well.
Garden Drive.
Yep. Just north.
It's
no,
yes.
Yeah. It's right there. Is that it?
Tell
you what, this thing is what happens when you don't have your rules. Okay,
there you go.
Is that it?
That's it.
Yeah, you can see them.
Yes.
Oh, here they are. Okay.
Yeah, they're lower than
a... You kind of put them on a tire.
Any other questions? Or, Jesus, how do you want to...
Yeah, you guys, do we have any more questions? Seeing none, I want to thank you guys.
Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity.
Very informative for us.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you.
So then we're at 105, we have Village of Royal Elm Beach. Are they here?
Yep.
All
it's
right.
Exactly.
Yes,
it's
105.
It's 105.
Okay. 105.
Great.
So,
Village of Royal Elm Beach, are you here?
Yep.
All right. How are you?
Okay. We'd like to welcome you. We have 10 minutes allocated for your presentation. And then 5 minutes of question, but take as much time as you need.
And action.
All right. Well, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Adamo DeSisto, and I am the project engineer for the Village of Royal Palm Beach. And today, we're going to be talking about our 2019 application for the Transportation Alternatives Program, which is the Pedestrian Pathway Wayfinding Project. So Project Celestia, the village already has an extensive on and off-road pedestrian system that connects schools and parks and businesses and neighborhoods together, and I'm going to zoom in on this map here just to give everyone a little bit of a better view. We take a lot of pride and time into trying to make interconnected options for pedestrians and to hopefully encourage everyone to get out of their cars and onto the sidewalks and bike paths that we have. One thing that is particularly useful for me when I'm driving around with the golf cart trying to do my field work is that the village likes to make connections both to and through our parks. For instance, this is Commons Park. It's our main park. It's huge. We have a lot of events there. It has a lot of traffic from both residents and visitors alike. And we relatively recently bought a home or a property that was here, took it down, and used it as a pass-through to get directly into the park. For instance, these people would have had to go all the way back out and around to get into the main entrance here, but now there's a direct off-roadway pathway in. We have something similar over here, and the two main points that we want to make connected are, first, Commons Park, as I mentioned, since we do have a lot going on there, it is relatively centrally located. And second, we have this FPL pathway, which actually you guys helped us to fund a project that's just kicking off now to put pedestrian lighting all along this path. And the reason it's important to us here is because it's a clear north-south, and also from here north, it's just road on one side, and from here down, there's actually no road adjacent to it at all. So we want to try to get our pedestrians aware that they can, from any of these or these neighborhoods, connect to this pathway and get into the park, onto Okeechobee, where they can meet with bus routes, or just to pass all the way through to access this side of the village over here. And we keep continuously doing that. For instance, one project that we're about to kick off now is this right here, is a component of a project. Now, these neighborhoods, since the village was built, to get to Commons Park or anything on this side, would have to either go to, using Belvedere, to State Road 7, up and around, back and around, and so forth. But we have this little pathway right through here between neighborhoods where, without getting into their car, and probably even using less time, all these neighborhoods now have direct and safe access into the parks. And that's something that we keep trying to do. You'll see me probably every year trying to do something similar to this with our connectivity. The issue, though, is I'm aware of all of these things because I'm looking at maps every workday, and I, as I've mentioned, have built some of these, but our residents and visitors don't, or may not. So what we decide to do next is to let them know. And that's what this project is all about, the wayfinding. As I said, we at the village take pride in the non-motorized connectivity that the pedestrian pathway network provides between neighborhoods, parks, schools, business, bus stops, and other points of interest. And we're committed to expanding on that, as I mentioned. So we propose the construction of a wayfinding system that includes kiosks with maps at major intersections, guide signs at minor intersections, and shelters with pedestrian and bicyclist amenities. No easement acquisition is going to be required because it's going to be all on village right-of-way and a fee simple land. Typical sections. Nothing's changing with the roads or pavement of any kind. It's just to show what sort of elements that we intend to add with this. First are the guide signs. They're going to be dispersed wherever we decide will be most useful, and they'll look something like this. Similarly, we have the kiosks, which will have maps showing the points of interest, showing and highlighting those pass-throughs, especially any non-motorized path, anything along those lines. It'll look something like this. This is actually in Commons Park, but obviously the sign itself will show the whole village. And then the shelters mentioned. This again is from Commons Park, so there won't be this much pavement around all of them, but this is sort of what we're looking for with it, and we have bike racks. There will be benches and signs around these as well. We're probably going to try to light them as well, depending on what the availability of power or solar options are. But these are designed to give people a place to rest, give people a place to get out of the sun and rain, and just in general make it more convenient to use the pathway. Main benefits are promoting safe alternative transportation by making the pedestrian pathway network easier to use. Maps and signs are very self-explanatory, as are the shelters. And one of the main things here is to encourage use through awareness. Like I said, we can be improving our system and its pass-throughs and convenience all we want, but if the public doesn't know about it, they're not going to be getting out of their cars and using these. The kiosks are going to be at major intersections and points of interest. The intention there is to put them where there's going to be a lot of exposure to the public to, as I keep saying, motivate them to use our pathways. Residents will be able to learn and plan their non-motorized routes. Our thoughts are going back to the example of this pathway here and these residents, if they know that it's just a 10-minute walk or even shorter bike ride, there's a decent chance that they'll decide to use that option instead of getting in their cars and driving all the way around. And that's just one example, but it shows what we are going for. And the project already has community support. We have included in our application our letters of support from Principal Armas of Royal Palm Beach High School, Principal Nance of Crestwood Middle, Principal Mikowski of H.L. Johnson. We have Section Manager Diane Smith of PBSO, and John Riordan, who is the President of the Recreational Advisory Board at the Village. So in conclusion, the Village of Royal Palm Beach respectfully requests consideration of our 2019 application to the Transportation Alternatives Program for the Pedestrian Pathway Wayfinding Project. The total construction cost is estimated to be around $810,000, and that's it. Thank you for your time and consideration.
Do we have any questions?
It's a maze of a town, huh?
Yeah.
Here.
Could you talk about the breakdown of like how many shelters or signs, how you got the $810,000?
Well, we have the cost estimate included with our...
For $810,000.
Yeah. Right. This is the first time I didn't actually include it because it never really shows up well. But if you look over here, we have our kiosks. That's all these yellows, which don't show up too well in the projection. We have the shelters, which are all these blues. I don't have the exact numbers on top of my head, but it looks to be about, I think, 13 or 15 shelters, and the guide signs are going to be determined after, but I'd have to look at it. I don't have it off the top of my head. And again, that is just an estimate, so when we get to the actual design, we will obviously be refining.
Do you know how many miles of path we cover with this system?
No, but just to give, I guess, it would basically be all the colored lines you see here. The colored lines are not all of our roads. They're all of our roads that have pedestrian options on them. Orange is basically sidewalk, but the important ones that don't always show, especially like I said on the projection, is here is completely off road, no road connected to it, similarly with all the pathways. But I don't have that number also. But it's everything. This is the entire village. The project will be throughout the entire village. So I guess the short answer is all of them.
Okay.
Yeah, could you go back to the slide showing the kiosk and other presentation?
You mean these, like the pictures?
Not this one. Those. Mm-hmm. I think those would be placed in the right way. I mean, like the image just behind it, within kind of the right way of the road, relatively not that far from the road. I'm going to make sure it's not going to affect your site distance.
Sure, of course. Yeah, site distances and setbacks are, of course, going to be part of the design.
Is there an electronic application? Irm is coming up with, correct me if I'm wrong, kind of a trail system app?
Yeah, we're working on something like that, yeah.
But is Royal Palm Beach considered a trail, considered putting a trail system app together?
That's not something I've heard of or aware of exists, but what we do have is we extensively use our GIS system to try to communicate these sort of things with the public. As part of our ADA transition plan, we're going to be highlighting all these pathways as well. Our intention by the end of our ADA transition plan, which pedestrian matters are very closely tied to ADA improvements, to be able to show exactly where someone who either wants to or needs to use ADA facilities and off-road sidewalks and whatnot, where all those are and what their options are in each of our parks and to get to each of our main points of interest. So we don't necessarily have an app, but we are using our GIS system to give this knowledge out as well.
And Gene, what we do is we use the Esri app. So
that's the GIS
thing,
yeah.
And then you can sign in and you can download a shapefile of all of our trails. So you should probably do something.
Yeah, I use the shapefiles from our Esri in my designs, but if that's something that comes out and is prevalent, we'll definitely let our public know.
Do we have any more questions, guys?
I think where you have the street name sign, you have the bicycle next to it, and mm-hmm. so forth. I mean, have you checked if anything consistent with the MUTCD or with the manual of uniform signs that we are supposed to follow?
As far as which ones are being chosen?
No, the way you're presenting the information. Or is it just kind of guidance for park? Is it on a route, or is it more in the right of way?
These will be on the right of way, not in the road, but.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure we can't get away with not doing MUTCDs when it comes to the lap process after, so that is, of course, going to be part of it as well. I don't believe we're going to be making fancy custom signs. We'll
I think the color is correct, probably, you know, for parks and stuff, but at least, I mean, if they're on the road, they need to be consistent.
Okay.
If they're not on the road, then we have more leeway.
Okay. Thank you.
I have a comment.
Yeah.
Side note, you know, maps are considered, or suitability maps, bikeway suitability maps, are considered a safety countermeasure with FHWA because, you know, you're providing these suitability maps. In order for those maps to work, you have to have wayfinding signage too. So wayfinding signage is also considered a safety countermeasure with FHWA. I don't know if it still is, actually. That was 4 years ago. I'm assuming it is, but it makes sense. You're not looking at your phone where to go. You're not getting lost, and it also encourages cycling too. It makes it easy to get around.
Right, and jumping off of that a little bit, we do bike rodeos, they call it, I believe, where it's a predetermined routes of, you know, low, medium, and higher difficulty as far as the range, and those sort of a thing will only bring more attention to this. And people will see these when they're out doing such events or if they're coming to a big event at Commons Park, and that's the point, is that exposure.
Do we have any more questions, comments? Well, thank you so much for your presentation.
Thank you.
Is it
Adamo? It is, Adamo. It's an Italian name. It's like Adam, Joe, Jose, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
All set?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you so much. Thanks for coming.
Wellington is at 1:30. You guys, we could take a 5-minute bathroom break if anybody needs it.
Yeah,
I
think
we'll 5-minute break. It's going.
Where are you going,
Gene?
Back on
schedule.
Back on schedule. That's exactly what I wanted to do.
And the clerk was like, yeah, you can take it. And I was like, I'm not going to take it.
I didn't. Well, I didn't feel comfortable taking it without asking. But yeah, it turned out we probably could have taken it.
Yeah.
Can you get to you ever?
No.
Okay, I'll just ask her every weekend.
She can keep it if she wants to. It's totally whatever she wants to use. What we'll end up doing is putting it into a procedure.
Okay.
So like it has
super nice program.
Yeah, we might want to keep it there. I don't know. So I'll take this and find it.
Yeah, I'll go.
And then
Johnson is just show us to research.
Have it easily. I can email to my little cleaner and scanning that.
Yeah, if you can do that, that's really
sure.
So when it gets up to it,
it must be like your
own.
Sure it does.
Like in the mall, like the work here actually
sort of things.
Yes, the shelter.
I don't know. It's blankets.
Wow. So
it's
really
see?
But see.
It's
kind of
like
a
relief.
Okay, yeah.